Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
Dude, sometimes I'm just a real bitch.
Sometimes?
Yeah, you know what? Fuck you. Sometimes.
Okay.
Dude, it was hot as shit yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, so I always have this one moment in the summer that I'm like, man, you know what would be nice? Some fall sweater weather. Yesterday was that day. Dude, yeah. It was fucking hot.
So
should have went out on the boats, what I should have done.
Sunday.
Should have just went out swimming.
We took the boat out Sunday afternoon. There was a chance of like pop-up storms, but it was a low chance, right? And so we get out there.
Oh,
it
fucking rained hard as shit here.
Oh, man. So we
I didn't know you were out on the water.
We get out there my whole day. And the lake's moderately busy, not overly busy, but not slow. And the water's a little rough. We got the surf competition coming up this next weekend. And so like we're trying to practice and make sure that.
Oh, yeah. You got to go out at like 5 a.m.
Well, yeah. But also, too, like practicing in the rougher water helps perfect your skills a little bit better. Right.
Okay.
And so like there's benefit to trying to practice in the rougher water. But, you know, Mason's more skillful at surfing than I am, so I don't even notice the rougher water as much as he does. But, so, you know, he gets a couple practice runs in, I get a couple practice runs in, and while we were heading out of the no-wake zone, one of my friends texts me, and she says, hey, are you guys on the water today? And I just replied to it, and I said, yeah, we just got out here, and then I put my phone down, and then we surfed for like half hour, 45 minutes. And we get done surfing. It's a little rough. And so it's like, let's go anchor out for a little while, and then we'll just surf later when the water calms down. And so I grab my phone again, and this friend of mine had texted me back, and she was like, hey, I have some friends back in a cove, and they're stuck, and the wind's blown them, like their boat's dead, and the wind's blown them back in this cove. And if you could tow them back, that'd be great. And so I'm like, yeah, sure. And we look up, and it's like, wow, that's kind of an aggressive-looking rain cloud. That's weird. And so we get a hold of their friends, find out what cove they're in, and the cove that they're in is only like 2 feet deep. They're far enough back in it, it's like 2 feet deep.
Oh, shit.
And
what kind of boat were they in?
They're in a small like 16, 18-foot bass boat.
Oh, shit.
And so...
Get a paddle, bro.
Well, they're all the way across the lake.
Dude, Blue Springs is like a half a mile long.
I understand.
Continue with your story.
Their engine,
I'm about to crush these people, I think.
Their engine died, and they killed all their remaining batteries trying to get the engine going, so they didn't even have trolling motor. And that would have been a long troll on a trolling motor.
Dude, that lake's tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're talking 30 minutes to troll across it.
So we go back in there, and I know this cove is mud bottom, so I'm not too worried about like a prop strike.
Where like, trees
and
probably crunch.
Yeah, we can go 3 feet without our prop touching the bottom. And our depth finder is pretty accurate. And so I have Mason get all the way in there, 3 feet, spin around, and we're still 300 feet from these people. And so I'm like, fuck it, I'll just get out and walk. And so I grab my rope and grab a life jacket, and I just start walking over to them. And it's like knee-deep mud, you know, it's a mud bottom. Yeah, actually, I didn't get stuck. I don't know. I was more worried about like ramming a stick or a rock through my foot in the soft mud. But
what do you make them get out? Were they like old people?
They weren't old, but they weren't they didn't look the type that are gonna.
They're not
like,
go getters.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking them. Like I don't know their story. I don't know if they just got completely caught off guard. Like we didn't really communicate much because it started pouring. And
this story's great.
As we're backing into this cove, it's like drip, 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 and it's like, well, it doesn't matter,
dude. It rained hard.
I mean, already wet, right? And so I go up there and I get the rope looped around the front of their boat, and then I'm dragging them 300 feet.
Yeah.
Up to our boat, you know, and so now I'm getting my legs all cleaned up and all the mud off of it before I climb into our boat, and I've got them tied back up to our boat, and I'm like, you guys can get in our boat if you want, and they're like, nah, it's all right, it's just a short ride, and I'm like, okay, cool. Their motor, he had his motor trimmed all the way up and turned to the side, and now that we were starting to pull him, it was pulling funny, so I'm like, go ahead and straighten your motor up.
Not a bright man.
So then... it opens up.
Dude, it rained.
And I posted a photo of it or a video of it.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Um,
it rained. It We got 3 inches of rain in 35 minutes. I was at the house.
Yeah.
There was a pond in my backyard.
There's the video.
Yeah, it rained fucking hard.
It was fucking hard.
Dude, it rained hard.
Yeah.
It rains really hard.
And so, come to find out, they had been stranded in that cove for 3 hours. And they had no way to, like, I don't know why they weren't, like, waving shirts or waving life jackets or whatever. Now, maybe they were just like, hey, we're stranded, but we're fishing. Like, who fucking cares?
Dude.
You know, who knows?
Dude, what the?
Of course, it didn't start raining until we start pulling them home, and we get them pulled home in the pouring rain. But then, by the time, so we leave that area, and we can see across the lake, and it's not raining on the other side of the lake.
No, they were pop-ups.
And so it's like, okay, cool. So we go to the other side of the lake and then run down the lake to where we normally tie out. Sun comes out, blue skies, floating, chilling. Like, it was the perfect, like, we got to surf. We spent the rainy time fixing a stranded boat. And literally, once we were done getting them to the dock, it was like perfect lake day.
I don't understand. I have so many questions for them that you're not going to be able to answer.
No.
How do you never, first off, never have your trolling motor tied to your starter battery. That's rule one of fishing.
Yeah.
Rule two is have a paddle.
Yeah.
Like, that's
an orange flag, a distress flag.
That's literally the, like, those two rules. Hell, I even have a set of jumper cables in mine so that I can jumper from one battery to another.
Yeah.
So if I got to run the trolling motor and get home, I can get home.
Yeah.
I mean, lesson fucking learned. Yeah. Also, some people shouldn't be boat people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not knocking you. If you don't know anything and you want to try something, that's fine. But yeah,
we all learn once, right?
do your research.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no clue.
That sucks.
So
that fucking sucks.
Now their boat's
flooded because the bilge ain't working, and you're dragging them in the rain.
I mean, we saw
they've killed a battery probably. Fucking motor. This is probably going to cost them $1,500 to get the motor fixed. Whatever's wrong with that. Break out another $1,000.
The variety of things you'll see at the boat ramp at Blue Springs Lake is pretty interesting. We saw like a late 80s, early 90s Mercedes.
Hell yeah.
Diesel. Like
old school emblem up on the hood.
Turbo diesel.
Fuck yeah.
Front bumper ripped off. Aftermarket intercooler piping on it.
I love it.
Smoking. Like we thought the trash dumpster was on fire in the marina parking lot.
Oh, this thing
was smoking so bad.
Oil burning?
I have no clue.
No clue?
But they were backing in a boat that could have, I mean, this boat was probably worth $7. I'd be amazed if it was worth $10.
Dude, Blue Springs is wild. You're right. Like, you'll see someone put in a $200,000 wake boat, and then you'll see the $7 boat.
Yeah.
Blue Springs is an amalgam of bullshit.
I want to set up a cheering squad out there and rating cards.
Dude, camera, rating cards, megaphone.
Yeah.
That, and a prize money.
And
that's all you'd have to do.
Right. And like, I don't want to laugh at the people that can't do it, but that'll be a byproduct of it. Like, the overall general thing needs to be, it needs to be a positive thing.
Oh, no.
But
no.
There will be so many people that fold under the pressure. I so want to do it. I so want to do it.
Oh, my God. Do you think we'd get kicked out?
I don't know. They'd probably find some reason to kick you out. I mean, I tried doing that big tie-up out there one day, and they were like, you need a permit, and you can't schedule a gathering. And I'm like, shit, that's seven boats over there. They all texted each other and said, you going to the lake today? They scheduled a gathering. Like,
yeah, it's so dumb. Well, I mean, I can get it, though. Blue Springs is tiny. It's a white trash dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's just
hardcore.
That's kind of what makes it great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I kind of get it.
Yeah. You're going to see a Hellcat on temp tags pulling a jet ski that will soon have a hole in the bottom of it by the time they leave there.
Every Saturday in the summer. Literally every fucking
Saturday.
Dude,
that happened just a couple weeks ago. Guy was blasting across the lake, got too close to one of the coves with the tree stumps in it. Hit a tree stump. Lucky he didn't die. Hit a tree stump and sunk his shit.
It happens.
Had to pull it up onto the shore and get all the water out of it, and then had to tie it up to, like, our friends helped him.
Helped float it, and then...
Well, had to get all the water out of it, tie it up to another boat, and then as long as they were pulling it with enough speed, it wouldn't sink.
Yeah.
And so,
It's like if you forget your plug in your bass boat.
Yeah.
You just go real fast, it'll suck the water out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
Dude,
That doesn't work in my boat, by the way.
No. It's crazy. So, you know, back there on the bowl by the dam?
Mm-hmm.
where that bowl kind of comes out. No one that listening to the show knows the fuck we're talking about. But it comes out, and people, like, they'll come around that corner with their jet ski and everything. We fish there all the time, like, mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere. Dude, there's two huge trees that were on old silos for crappie fishing. Mm-hmm. Dude, if you're not careful, you get fucked up there.
Yeah.
If the lake's down.
Yeah.
And people, they don't even fucking know. It's only, like, 15 feet deep there.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to watch our depth because it changes the shape of the wave. And anything under 10... Well, anything under 15 feet deep, the wave starts diminishing. Anything under 12 and your wave kind of goes to shit. It needs a depth of water under the boat to create a good wave.
Yeah.
And so, like, we know where we have to stay in the deep parts.
It's only a matter of time before the wake boats are outlawed on certain lakes.
Yeah, that's a political thing that they would just have to argue until they're dead in the face, you know? Like,
no, I think they'll... It doesn't have to do with politics. It has to do with ruining the lakes that are shallow.
Well, that's what politics is, right? They're going to find some scientist to try and say that these are damaging the lake.
Well, they're already saying that. What they're going to end up doing is they're going to dedicate lakes for it, is what's going to end up happening. Like, they're not going to outlaw boats, but it's going to be like, okay, this lake can't have them. This lake can't have them. This lake can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what happens is if you can't ruin every lake. Can you ruin some of them? Yeah, sure. Who cares? Dedicate it towards that.
Right.
That's what's going to end up happening. Blue Springs will probably always be one because it's small enough and it's a shitty enough fishing lake that people will just be like, do whatever you want. Who gives a fuck?
Well, and Blue Springs needs the revenue because Cletus and his 25-horse John boat ain't generating enough revenue, and he's plucking fish off that lake all day long. Meanwhile, me and my 430-horsepower boat and my friends and their 600-horsepower surf boats, you know, you pay per horsepower.
Yeah, but they're not.
And so they don't want to drop that revenue.
Agree, but that's a small amount of their revenue.
Yeah.
The county just writes them a check.
Yeah.
Every fucking year. So, but somebody, not that anyone that listens to the show gives a flying fuck.
Somebody did point out, like, I didn't even think about this, but somebody pointed out, I shared a video of the rainstorm and us towing that bass boat. And they were like, yeah, and wake boats are the problem, and wake boats cause all these issues. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I could have spun that in a way to say, oh, yeah, wake boats out here saving the day.
Yeah.
You know? So,
oh, that would be you.
But
you get you've been getting into a lot of flack on the fucking social webs lately.
Yeah, that's good. That comes with visibility.
Yeah.
So,
I'm telling you, there's trolls everywhere, man.
You know, that is a thing. So, like, we do this Boys Night on the Water, and we go out there on Tuesday nights. Well, there's an unofficial fishing tournament on that lake on Tuesday nights. Just a group of guys get together, throw their own little tourney together. And it used to be
Saturdays and Sundays. Saturdays was Blue Springs, Sundays was Jacomo.
Yeah, they initially tried getting me to move Boys Night because they were trying to fish and I'm a wake boat. And I'm like, dude, we could have to figure out a way to share the lake. Well, now I'm buddies with these guys. And I chatted up with them every Tuesday because they're getting out there the same time we are and everything else. And so now I'm kind of buddies with these guys. And they all say, like, dude, if every wake boat owner was like you, we wouldn't have a problem with wake boats. And so this is the demise of wake boats on lakes. It has absolutely nothing to do with their effect on the water. It has everything to do with how they treat other boaters. And then you piss other boaters off enough and they'll go scientific and find scientific reasons why the wake boat shouldn't be on the lake is how it is.
I mean, some of that is true.
It's no different than any other political stance anywhere of like, if the guys who are speeding down the highway were flipping everybody off and swerving at people and causing problems, then they would say, okay, speeding is dangerous. But if everybody is speeding down the highway and getting along and nobody's fighting, then they would actually be pushing to increase the speed limits. It all depends on, like, the interactions of the bad actors compared to the activity.
Except for two things. If the lake is less than 15 feet deep, it ruins habitat on the bottom of the lake,
mm-hmm.
and kills
if
fish.
There is habitat on
if
the bottom.
If there's habitat on the bottom, and it will wake bass boats.
Yeah,
like you will literally wash over the front of bass boats.
Yeah,
like you can literally do damage.
Yeah.
Now that being said, like, I've got a Lund and it'll take fucking 6 foot swells. It doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So to me it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I see a lot of mockery videos of guys out on big water in the wind.
Oh, yeah.
And they're showing like waves coming up over the and front of the back of their boat.
And then they
and they're like, these fucking wake boats. And then they pan out and it's no wake boats inside. Yeah. It's just wind. Right.
Yeah. It doesn't bother. I don't give a fuck about the wake. Like, my boat's big. It doesn't fucking matter. You know, it's just change with the times, right? Get a deep V. Stop being a dumbass and driving a fucking bass cat like an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm going to get hate for that, but that's okay. Fuck them. But the habitat thing on the small, like, if the lake's deeper than 25 feet where you're going, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yep.
No big deal. Who cares? It's our small little county lakes
that
it fucks them up.
The biggest thing that I see with it is just inconsiderate owners.
Oh yeah,
that are like passing. Like you have a guy post
feet.
Yeah, you got a guy posted up on a corner, and it's maybe a crappie spot or something.
Yeah,
you don't pass the guy repetitively back and forth and back and forth. And like, we can control what side of the wave or what side of the boat the big wave goes out on.
Yeah,
right. And so like, if I am gonna pass a guy multiple times, I try to give him my small wave if I can.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But you got guys going way too close to docks, way too close to other boats and everything else.
Have you seen those?
I have half a mind to petition Missouri to change the law about the orange flag. So every state's different with their orange flag rule. The orange flag signals that I have a person in the water. Okay?
Yeah.
In Missouri, if no orange flag is up, boats underway are required to stay a minimum of 50 feet away. Mm. If I have an orange flag up, you're required to stay 50 yards away. So now it's 150 feet.
Like anyone can judge that distance on the water.
Correct.
I mean,
it's already questionable as it is.
It's brutal. Yeah. Okay.
But then Missouri law says if I'm towing a skier or a wakeboarder or a tuber or a surfer, while that surfer is in the water, before they're up on their water sport device, the orange flag is up. Then the orange flag goes down until they fall back in the water, and then it goes up again. Well, that does two things. One, it's incredibly tedious for somebody to have to manage that.
We just leave ours up.
But for two, hell, my wakeboard rope's 75 feet long.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that while he's in the water getting ready to start, you got to stay 150 feet away, which is going to put you 75 feet from my wakeboarder.
Yeah.
But then the moment he pops up out of the water, you can actually be closer to my boat than my wakeboarder.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And then the moment he falls, instantaneously the buffer now triples in size.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Like, why the fuck wouldn't you just make the rule that the orange flag stays up the entire time you're doing water sports?
So I can take tubers on our boat.
I don't want you that close.
Yeah, I can take tubers on our boat. I just leave it up.
Yeah, we do too.
It's so fucking dumb.
And that's
and the other thing
that's
is
a thing
too,
where I would not like I'm eager to argue with the cops, right? But that's a thing where I would have a discussion with the cops and explain it the exact same way I explained it to you and said, dude, I'm operating my watercraft in the safest manner I deem possible.
Yeah.
I want them 150 feet. I'm intentionally leaving it up, not because I'm lazy. I want the buffer.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, if you see an orange flag going and the boat's making a hard turn, you know someone's in the water.
Yeah.
Look around.
Yeah.
Don't run some motherfucker over.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yeah,
that thing should just be up.
I think that's one of those gimme rules where they leave it vague and gray on purpose.
So they can pull you
just
over.
Just so they can inspect you for life vests, alcohol consumption, and fire extinguishers.
Yeah.
So I know that they've got a couple of rules just baked in there just for that.
Yeah.
And
I've been stopped just Smithville and Longview. The only two places I've been stopped. Dude, Longview's bad. Longview, they are out there constantly.
Well, there's gators on that water.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they're out there. And I get it, because there's a couple of little coves where some really big boats are at, and dude, people are fucking hammered drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, just fucking hammered drunk. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a hard line for me. Part of it's like, why would I? I've got plenty of sober drivers.
Yeah, it's
like
dumb.
My kids and wife can drive the boat. So yeah.
Layla can't, but if I was drunk, I'd let her.
Yeah.
Like, I let her drive the boat all the time. She's like, where are we going?
She's gotta be close enough. What?
She's 13.
Okay, next year.
I just let her drive. I don't care. She's been driving for 2 years. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
She takes the mule out on the fucking road. I don't care.
I know.
I have fucking road insurance on that thing just because her and Janine were like, hey, we'd like to drive it up and down the road.
Yeah.
It's like $300 a year for liability. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll pay for that.
Yeah.
We're rambling. What are we? Before we talk, Do you want to read our, you want to go with our ad read today? I'm excited for the ad read today.
Yeah, I will say, I don't know how some of the hell, some of you guys are running your companies. Your company schedule is literally 3 text messages, 2 missed calls, and whatever the hell Dave remembers after a second monster. And if your dispatcher quits tomorrow, nobody knows how to answer the phones. You don't have a business. You're being held hostage by your business. Some of you are held together by Sharon, 3 sticky notes, and pure luck. That's exactly why we recommend Field Pulse. Customers, scheduling, dispatching, estimates, price invoices, the Tradewinds price book, maintenance plans, good, better, best proposals, all in one place. And yes, it syncs with QuickBooks. Because your accountant deserves better information than you trying to grab whatever receipts have been floating around in your dash for 6 months. If you want the truth, contractors don't need more leads. They need fewer self-inflicted wounds. Get your crap together. Go to the Field Pulse link in the description of this show and sign up with Field Pulse. Because if one employee taking a vacation can bring your company to its knees, you don't own a business. You own an emergency. So, to take advantage of Field Pulse's special offers, go to the link in the description of this show. And if they ask them how you heard about them, tell them The Void sent you.
What is the promotion they're having till the end of August? It's till August 31st.
It is 20% off plus 50% off premium support for a full year. So
20% off their base price.
Yep.
For a full year. And if you want to get premium access, it's 50% off for the first 12 months. That's actually good.
Essentially, premium support is like if you're not very computer savvy or you're not very good with technology, you'd sign up for premium support. You're going to let them do the technology part for you.
Yeah.
So, but if you're really good with QuickBooks and you're really good with Excel and you're really good at understanding systems, then you probably won't need their premium support. So
no, you won't. Just but still 20% off for a fucking year.
That's huge.
That's a big number.
Yeah. So
I wish someone would give me 20% off. My bill...
I'll give you 20% off of nothing. How about that?
I know we're going to move on here, and we're going to talk about what we want to talk about. Man, I am... You and I talked about this a little bit before the show. Like, sometimes you get older. I shouldn't say sometimes. When you get older, sometimes you think, maybe all of this bullshit I've accumulated and all my Netflix memberships and Prime memberships, like all of this stuff, all of these bills, all of this everything is really starting to add up, and it's really starting to fucking piss me off, and maybe it's time to downsize. So that when I say I wish someone would give me 50% off or 20% off, I'll take it. Give me something. All I'm right. Fucking stretched thin right now.
I'll give you 50% off your house and buy it right now.
You can lick my balls, bitch.
Yeah, cabin in the woods sometimes sounds pretty nice.
Dude, yeah.
A little bit of internet.
Yeah.
A little bit of, like, I could do so much work. A lot of my work's done through the internet, so, like, I don't need a house in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
I don't need to be close to my work. It's all over the internet, so, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't know if it's my age or what, but I've been feeling like that a lot lately. Like, it's time to, maybe I just need a little, I will say this. So, next week, we're going on the event. Mm-hmm. For Tradewinds. Maybe I do just need like a 3-day vacay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I need. We're going fishing. Dude,
you need to hear some waves lapping on a beach for...
Do you know how fucking excited I am to go fishing?
Yeah.
So we're going deep sea fishing, but it's...
In the bay.
No. It's off the coast, but you can still see the coast.
Oh.
So it's like, they call it near shore fishing.
Yeah.
There's like some reefs we're going to fish, some shipwrecks, stuff like that. There's 6 of us going. John Castro, who's in our group, is the one that brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to have to fucking get the logistics and do this and do that and all of that.
It's done now.
And then I set it all up, and now I'm like, fuck yeah, man, let's go.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun, dude.
I just hope we can ceviche something on the back of the boat.
I'm going to...
That is like the tastiest, like literally, you catch a fish, and within 10 minutes, you're eating the fish you caught, and you don't even have a grill.
Well, you know...
It's just sunlight and lime juice.
It depends on what kind of fish you're fishing for.
Yeah, too. No, it's got to be like a tuna or something like that. That's why I want you to reach out to them and see if there's any ceviche fish.
I love how all this shit is. I need you to do it. Why don't you help me out a little bit?
I mean, I could go call...
Fucking help me out, bro?
I could go call random boat charters and be like, I don't even know if we have a reservation with you, but
could
we do this?
I could just give you the goddamn phone number.
We also got to ask them if there's any restaurants that'll cook our catch.
Yeah. I will say that is a lot of fun. The only thing for us is we're not going to be able to store it one day, so it would have to be that night.
Yeah.
And we're going 1-7, so it would be late.
We're on vacation. Does it matter?
The restaurants. You know how these fucking restaurants are. Some of them are open until midnight. because it's a touristy area.
Yeah.
You go down to AMI and they're like, oh, no, we close at 9 o'clock because it's like a quieter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just bitching.
We got
to. I'm just bitching because I'm old and fucking crotchety.
So.
Game, set, match. I need a vacation.
Yep.
I need a fucking goddamn vacation.
All right. So.
What do you want to talk about, buddy?
Hardcore topic for this show is that if you're still on the fence about getting into the trades, now is the time. And if you're already in the trades, in business and everything else, and you're on the fence about blowing your business up, now is the time. If you look at a lot of the big players in the home service industry, they will all agree on one thing, that the next 5 to 10 years in the home service industry will be a peak in activity like we haven't seen before. And I know everyone can look and see that all private equity is buying up your business here and buying up businesses there and everything else. They're just getting started. And you're going to see that peak over the next 5 to 10 years. And if you want generational wealth for your family, or you want wealth like your family's never seen before, or you are never going to have available to you working for somebody else, now is the time to start your own business. And this is kind of perfect timing because TradeWinds has a new program coming out. So for those that don't know, and I don't want to turn this into a pitch fest with TradeWinds, but we're doing everything we can to help you out with this. So, for those that don't know, kind of a subsidiary of this podcast is our paid mentorship program called TradeWinds. And TradeWinds is, 3 different membership levels. One is all group coaching stuff. One is like group coaching with some private one-on-one coaching. And then another, the top level is like more heavily incentivized on the private 2-on-1 coaching. And I say 2-on-1 because it's David and I with you. And we do all this through a private Facebook group and some Zoom calls and everything else. But the minimum barrier to entry into TradeWinds is $249 a month. And so
it's steep. And it's steep on purpose.
It's steep because we're delivering really good info and we want to be able to deliver the value to you. And so we chose a fairly high barrier to entry at $249 a month, just because we wanted to make for sure that we were going to be able to give you the attention you deserve. And if you sign up to pay me $9.99 a month, I'm sorry, you just don't get that much attention, right?
No, you're throwing money away.
Well, we're now doing enough things in TradeWinds that opens the door for some trickle-down stuff. And so because of that, prior to this new thing that we're coming out with, the levels and membership levels in TradeWinds were the crew level, the captain's level, and the admiral's level. And the idea was if you're building your crew, you're going to be in the crew level. If you have a crew and you're the captain of the crew, you're going to be in the captain's level. And then if you are managing managers or needing to get your business to that point, you're going to be in the admiral's level where you're kind of overseeing captains and captains are kind of overseeing your crew. Well, because of all of this and everything that we have going on, it's opened the door for us to start a new level, and that's called the cadet level. And the cadet level is going to have a barrier to entry unlike anything we've ever done before. And basically the idea for the cadet level is if you're not even in business for yourself yet, you could join the cadet level and learn everything that you need to do to get into business. If you're fresh into business, maybe you're 6-12 months in, and you don't have employees yet, and you're still figuring out how to get leads, and you're still figuring out some of the basics, the cadet level is for you. And so once it's all said and done, the cadet level is going to run $69 a month. But you're going to see this open up. By the time this show releases, you're going to start seeing this open up, where if you go to winninginthetrades.com and look at some of our programs, you're going to be able to see the cadet level on there. And we have an introductory offer through the end of August. You're going to be able to sign up for the cadet level for $19.99 a month for your first 12 months.
Yep.
And so as we do everything in TradeWinds, we are no contracts. We are month to month. And so this is going to be kind of the same idea. No contracts and month to month. We do the no contract thing on purpose, and that has to do with ethics. There are a lot of paid mentorship group, mastermind groups, coaching groups that love to hide behind a contract. In other words, they promise you the moon, you sign the contract, your first month seems great, your next 7 or 8 months kind of flatline, and then right about the time contract renewal comes around, they start delivering the value to you like they should have done in month three, month four, month five, and month six.
Yep.
And so we don't operate that way. We look at it like we want our people to have the ability to take their ball and go home and say peace out to us at any month, which because that forces David and I to have to deliver the value every month. And so it forces us to be held accountable. It forces you to hold yourselves accountable if you're a member of Tradewinds. So with this new captain's level, it's going to be the same thing. It is going to be month to month. And we're going to be 100% straight with you. The goal at the captain's level...
Cadet level.
Cadet level. The goal at the cadet level is to eventually get to the crew level, right? That's where you're going to have more access to coaching and everything else. The cadet level is basically going to... There is no direct coaching in the cadet level. What the cadet level is going to be is it's going to be recordings of coachings that we've done at higher levels, but you can't ask questions, you can't interject, you're just taking it for what it is.
It's access to information.
It's yes, the cadet level is purely access to information without any implementation help. Yes, we're going to have some tutorial guides and everything else, but to the guy that's trying to start his business, just having access to the right information and understanding the ability to discern the right information from the wrong information is key. So all of our current Tradewinds members will have the option to, the cadet level will have its own private Facebook group, and all of our current Tradewinds members will have the option to join that group. So you'll have some upper level mentorship in that group from those who have joined it. It won't be a requirement for other members to join because they got their own stuff going on. So maybe they're too busy building their businesses. They don't need to help you build yours. It's not something we expect of Tradewinds members. But a lot of these guys are very loving and very giving, and they want to see other people succeed. And so they'll join and offer as much advice as they can. And that's going to be coming from somebody in the crew level, the captain's level, or the admiral's level of Tradewinds. Obviously, David and I will be in this group too. But most of our involvement in the group is going to be monitoring the group for the type of information that it's asking for and then delivering that information on a little bit more of a controlled basis.
And that it's correct information.
And it's correct shared information.
Yeah.
Right. So other things that will happen in this group, we don't know exactly how often we're going to go live yet. A lot of it's going to depend on group size. I would love to get to a point where I go live in the group once a week at a standard time every week, once a week, to where I'm answering questions live that I've seen asked over the last week in the group. And so basically this group will be a phenomenal paid resource for you to help you grow your business. And let's ignore the introductory offer of $20 a month for a minute. Let's say you miss that and you join at $69 a month. At $69 a month, you should be absolutely getting way more than $69 a month in value from everything you're learning in the group. Hell, just some of the digital resources we're giving you for how to track your leads and how to track your calls and how to handle your KPIs and things like that will be phenomenal.
I'm still fucking mad that all those are in there.
You can buy all of these individual from Tradewinds, yeah. Or you could join that group and have access to be able to ask questions and get some other mentorship from there for a lot cheaper than if you just bought the digital assets.
I know. That's my point. I'm still fucking mad about that.
Yeah. So again, this isn't necessarily a pitch fest for the cadet level. It's more or less explaining we know that there's going to be a big pop of excitement, a big surge of activity in the trades space. Your tradespeople are your next millionaires. With the advancement of AI coming around the corner, there's a lot of guys that went to college that are about ready to have their jobs swallowed up by AI.
Yep.
And so the trade space, you know, AI can't take the trade space, right? It's like that funny joke out there of like, AI is never going to take my job. I'd love to see him misquote a job and end up working 6 days for free.
Yeah, no shit.
But
want it, fucking take it.
AI can't turn wrenches. AI can't scoop shit off of customers' floors. AI can't roll paint onto customers' walls.
Yeah.
AI can't refinish somebody's floor. Like, the trades are the next group of self-made millionaires. And it's if you are on the fence about starting your business, start. If you've started your business and you're on the fence about growing it, grow it. Because you're going to have an exit potential in the next 5 to 10 years like you haven't seen before.
Yeah, dude, there are going to be... I see this debate online all the time. Oh, PE this, oh, PE that, blah, blah, blah. Why do you think PE are buying these businesses? Because they know it's going to generate a fuck ton of income. Those businesses, those PE companies could just as easily take that money and put it in the market and make 8% over the next 10 years. They're buying those businesses because they know the return on those businesses is going to be more than 8%.
Yep.
If you're not having to plunk a bunch of money down to get your business rolling, you're more better off than PE that's buying these businesses.
Yeah.
And you will be bought by PE.
They got to make a substantial investment.
Yeah. If you're organized, if you're profitable, if you're easily sellable, is something that we talk about in TradeWinds all the time, you're going to make a fuck ton of money.
Yep.
The potential is there. Dude, you do not... One of the big misnomers on business owners or trades business owners is, oh, well, I'm just a wrench turner and I'm not smart enough to do that and blah, blah, blah. First off, you're smart enough to do it. Two, you're scared. Don't be scared. Three, there's fucking places like TradeWinds that you can sign up for and we will hold your hand until your feet are underneath you. Yep. And then you can, after 6 months, you can go, Dave, Mitch, I love you. I'm out. I got everything I needed. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
We look at you and we smile. We go, thanks for being part of the program, man. If you ever need anything, fucking call us. We're here for you. Congratulations.
I've got a whole stack of swag that people have given us on their way out of TradeWinds because they learned everything that they could. They were appreciative of what they've learned.
Dude.
And they've dipped out and like still great relationships with those guys today. So again, that's another flaw with some of these organizations out there is they want members for life because they'll dangle
they're money
this
hungry.
Well, they dangle this carrot of we want you to grow, we want you to grow, we want you to grow, but then when you grow, they're like, "Oh no, you can't leave us." And it's like, "Dude, that's a power hungry thing, right?"
Yeah.
We want people to grow beyond us. Like I kind of condition TradeWinds as like the coach before the coach. Like, I want you to get to a level where you need
financial coaching at a level of
you need a big business coach.
Yeah.
Right? You need a C Corp style business coach or mentor. We're to help you get off the ground, get started, and get healthy. Yeah. There's other coaches out there that will take your $8 million a year business and help you get to the $10 or $12 or $15 million level. We want to get you to the eyes of those coaches.
Yeah.
Right?
Man, one of the best thing, it's on my desk. It will stay there forever. I've been meaning to frame it, just put it on my wall, but I haven't. It's from Daniel. He was a smart home tech, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He left our group a year and a half ago.
Yeah, a little over a year ago.
Mailed us some swag, shirts, hats, some other stuff. He hand wrote a fucking letter. He's younger than us, like he's a 70-year-old lady. And it literally says, I mean, it's 300 words, and I wish I should have brought it. I didn't know I was going to go this way, but like it just thanks us for what we did, which, by the way, all we did was give him information, and he ran with it and was successful. It was all on him. But at the end of the letter, it just says, I love you guys. I appreciate everything you did.
Yeah.
Dude, that's one of my most prized possessions.
Yep.
Just like that is the kind of... One, relationships we build in TradeWinds,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of outcome that we have grown to expect from every member that actually applies the teachings and the things that we talk about. If you just apply it, you will win.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to ramble, but it's literally that fucking simple. So if you're afraid, don't be afraid. If you need help, sign up for it doesn't even have to be us. We would appreciate it if it was us.
Yeah.
But sign up for coaching. But just fucking go with it.
Yeah. David and I want to make the biggest impact on the trade space possible. And so our focus on the biggest impact is not the most people. It's having the deepest impact with a few people.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Right. And so, You know, that's why you won't see Tradewinds being like one of the biggest coaching organizations out there, because the ones that are the biggest, that was their focus, was to be the biggest. Well, it's kind of hard to have a deep, deep impact when you're that large, right? And yeah, so we want a super deep impact. We want an impact to the level where our guys are texting us, and they do. They absolutely do this. Our guys will text us personal wins. We have a guy in Tradewinds that just bought a classic car, and he's like texting David and I on the weekend of like, hey, look what just showed up at my place, right?
Fuck yeah, bro.
And like, that's the kind of relationships that we want with our clients. And so in other words, to us, our clients aren't just a number. They're a real human with real employees and real families, and we're trying to change the course of their life.
Yeah.
And so...
how many of those coaching groups... I don't know how this has turned into a fucking pitch. How many of those coaching groups can you call the owner or text message the owner and be like, hey, man, you got time for 5 minutes phone call?
Right.
Fucking none.
Right.
Almost none.
Yeah.
And actually get a response.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I had somebody yesterday. We were working a client through, we might even run a podcast on this topic. One of our clients through acquiring another business in his area. And we gave him all the advice, said how we would do it and everything else. And it was a no money down thing. He wasn't going to have to plunk a bunch of money down and all of this stuff. Well, he pulled it off, got it all done. And then he had a couple of lingering questions about just some tactical stuff of, okay, it's done. What do I do with this? What do I do with that? And so he texts me. And this is outside of his normal coaching call schedule and everything else. He texts me and he says, hey, do you have time for a 10-minute phone call? And I said, I don't right now, but I can call you in 25 minutes. And he says, okay. So I call him in 25 minutes on my way to the gym. And I spend my drive to the gym talking him through these couple of questions he had, just super small, like technical questions, nothing crazy. But like, that's the level of relationships that we have with our guys in Tradewinds, because we love watching our people grow and succeed. And so bringing on this cadet level is going to open up so much more of the ability for those relationships to come on. It is going to be like, it sounds crazy. I'm excited for the cadet level, because now we get to the impact that we have at the cadet level won't run super deep. You're going to need to be in the bigger levels to get a deep impact. However, for where you're at in business, you're not in the deep end of the pool anyway. You're in the shallow end. You're in the zero entry part of the pool anyway, yeah, getting into business. So it'll run deep enough for you.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, getting you to your first $10,000 a month in sales, getting you to your first $10,000 a week in sales, those are massive milestones that a lot of people overlook, right?
Yeah.
Some coaches won't look at you unless you're doing $1 million a month in sales.
You're nobody. What do you mean I'm nobody?
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude.
That's like Service Titan.
Yeah.
Until you have three techs.
You're still butthurt about Service Titan?
I'll forever be butthurt about Service Titan. It's not a butthurt. It's just they're fucking rude. But, it's no different than Service Titan. They laughed at me. Whenever I started my company in 2020, they literally laughed at me and said, ha, 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 you're too small for us. Come back when you have at least three trucks on the road. Okay, 9 months later, I have three trucks on the road. And now they're calling me. Well, it's about 15 months later they were calling me. Because we started the YouTube channel and I started gaining a little bit of popularity.
Don't
and they
you
were
want
like,
to be
oh,
on Service Titan?
Oh, he's actually in our system. We've reached out to him before. And so they call me and they're like, hey, looks like you're primed and ready for Service Titan now. And I'm like, ha, 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 fuck you. And they're like, whoa, that's mean. And I'm like, no.
No. Was mean was when I tried to sign up fucking 15 months ago, you told me no. So lick my balls, bitch.
I'm literally I'm taking your request and responding to you the exact same way you responded to me.
Yeah.
You literally laughed in my face and said no. So now I'm laughing in your face and saying no too. So I'll forever say this, if Service Titan had any brains about them whatsoever, they would create Service Titan Lite and they could probably dominate the industries.
Yeah, and they could probably advertise on this show.
They probably could. If we'd let them. But you kind of build your way into that. You know, our first month out of the gate, I think we did $30,000 in revenue. Our second month out of the gate, I think we did like $32,000 in revenue. Our third month out of the gate, I think we did like $35,000 in revenue. And so like we were clicking off, like I'm a systems and process kind of guy. And so we had a system and a process for how we do things and how we would get customers and how we would run our schedule. And it just worked out of the gate. And so we were kind of positioned for like $350,000 a year in revenue pretty much from month one, yeah. right? But we finished our first full year in revenue. We started mid-late year. But by the time we got to January, we finished our first full year in revenue at $779,000 and our second full year in revenue at $1.2 million. And so those are not brag-worthy numbers, right? There's definitely businesses out there that did $2 million in their first year and did $6 million in their second year. Like, I'm not trying to say that we grew at a level that's like, you know,
but it's an obtainable level.
I'm not the guy posing in front of the exotic car trying to sell you some bullshit, right?
No.
I'm the guy that's like, no, I actually did it with my own hands, with no investments from anybody else, just grit and determination, right?
Yeah.
And so those are the habits that we teach in Tradewinds. And that's the model that we teach in Tradewinds is if it's got to be, it's got to be up to you. Like, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that join mentorship groups and coaching groups thinking that they're going to get success by osmosis, thinking that they're not going to have to put themselves ever in an uncomfortable situation. They're never going to have to make a hard decision. They're never going to have to put their money on the line. They're never going to have to work late. They're never going to have to work early. They're never going to have to miss a family event. But I signed up for the coaching and I signed up for the mentorship and the mastermind. Why aren't I successful? Well,
because you're not working, motherfucker.
Did you do the hard thing? Did you let the employee go? Did you fire your best sales guy? No. Okay. Well, then you're not ready for the success that comes from that.
Yeah.
Right?
You still have to implement. You still have to make the hard decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, I hired a personal trainer. I don't listen to a thing he says, but why am I still fat? Well, it's because you don't put yourself in the uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
You don't go hungry. Yeah. You don't lift the weight that's heavy. You didn't get to the gym early. You didn't get to the gym when you were tired. You didn't eat broccoli when there was Snickers. You didn't pass on the dessert. Like I love the parallel to fitness to business because fitness, if you want your body to look a certain way, you will say no more than you will ever say yes. You will have to use your discipline. Like, it takes the exact same amount of discipline to say no to the seventh cookie as it does the first, right? And so many of these people are like, well, I had one cookie, so it's all gone. No. You had one. Big fucking deal. Say no to number two. Okay, yeah. You had six. Big deal. Say no to number seven. Takes just as much discipline to do that.
Yeah.
Trust me, because I downed an entire... Daniel,
Okay, side tangent. Yeah. I like it. I'm excited.
So we went to... we had a big charity event a couple of weekends ago doing this thing with our boat, and the charity event has this... They call it like a captain's tie-up where all the captains can kind of... This is before the event, the day before the event. No charity kids are there, no nothing.
It's hobnobbing, it's drinking, it's having something to eat. There's alcohol there. Before you even do the deal.
Yeah. And so
I fucking love it.
The captains get to know each other, cut loose, whatever else, and then we all show up the next day and take these kids
hungover
down the
road. Hungover and take kids hungover. The road.
Nobody's hungover. But... Danielle, in preparation for that, we're going to be out on our boat all day long. She makes this thing that she calls boat dip. And I don't even know what's in it, but oh my God.
Is it like the pinwheels she used to make and you'd eat fucking a whole tray of them?
She still makes those too.
They're horrible. I don't know how God, you I eat them. I know you do. I've seen you eat a whole fucking tray, a 12 by 15 tray.
We'll get into that math here in a minute. But so like... We have the surf contest coming up over the weekend, so we're going to be at Lake of the Ozarks, and there's a tie-up, like a watch party tie-up for everybody that's surfing and everything else, so Danielle's got to prepare, the boat mom's got to prepare the coolers and the food for the day, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, babe, if I had one request, can you not make boat dip? Because at this point in my life, I don't have the level of discipline to not eat it all.
Did you literally eat the whole thing of boat dip?
I mean, not that day of... But in the days following,
how many calories are in the boat dip?
What's
in the boat dip?
If you don't count them, do they really count?
If you don't give people fucking information about what's in the... No,
so there's cream cheese.
Oh, okay. That's a problem.
Shredded chicken.
Chicken's okay. Probably cheese.
Oh, there's a lot of cheese.
Cream cheese, shredded
cheese.
Sour
cream.
And cream cheese?
Yeah.
Dude, so you're telling me...
Let's see if she'll respond to my text.
So you're telling
quick.
Me a half a cup of this fucking boat dip is like 400 calories? 20 grams of fat? I don't care what you eat.
I'm texting her.
It makes me fucking laugh.
I'm texting her, what's in boat dip?
Hey, fat fuck, how much boat dip did you eat?
Yeah, all of it. But, so it's like egg math, right? Hard-boiled eggs, I can eat two. Scrambled eggs, I can eat eight. Deviled eggs, I can eat 30.
Deviled eggs. I will fucking kill some deviled eggs,
just
bro.
Saying. Egg math is weird.
Dude, I'm not going to agree with the hard-boiled eggs because I can sit there and eat. I bet I could eat six hard-boiled eggs easy. Eat fucking easy.
Sprinkle a little salt on them.
Yeah. I will fucking put them down. But, dude, we have chickens, so we have unlimited eggs. Sometimes I'll just go in there and be like, hey, let's make deviled eggs. And our tray holder is 24, so that's a dozen eggs, right? Dude, I'll eat that whole thing day and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just kill that fucking thing.
Yeah.
I will kill it.
It's good shit.
No, it's not good for you. Well, I mean, it's good for you. Deviled eggs are not good for
you.
They got extra shit in there.
Thankfully, I have my protein on lock, and so I can get my protein grams in every day. And then my core diet is built so strict that I have about 700 to 900 calories a day that I could just eat trash for 700 to 900 calories and still get my protein in and everything else. So now, am I an Olympic level bodybuilder? No, right? But am I staying under 18% body fat as an adult male in his mid-40s with over 100 pounds of muscle mass? Yes. So that's not easy to do either. So
I wonder what my muscle mass is.
He takes a well-hydrated in-body scan to figure that out. So,
well, I don't have a lot of fat, so I guarantee it's probably over 100.
100 pounds of muscle mass?
No, probably not. Probably 80.
I'm 102 pounds of muscle mass.
That's it?
Yeah.
How
I weigh 205.
Jesus Christ. So, you're also fucking taller than me.
Yeah. But it has less to do with the amount of muscle mass and more the proportion. Muscle mass to total body weight.
What happens if you're dehydrated?
Muscle mass doesn't show up on that scan very well if you're dehydrated. So you want to be super, like if you're peeing clear when you go into scan those, you're pretty good.
Okay, so it's not muscle mass, some of it's water.
Well, no, it's just the muscles show up on it'll measure your total water content of your body too. But if you're low on water content, it's gonna record low on muscle mass.
I don't know how accurate them scans are.
They're pretty accurate. If you're disciplined to your procedure before going into those scans, they're actually very accurate.
Like without taking blood work at the same time, that's almost an impossible thing to know.
Yeah, blood work won't tell you body fat percentage or anything else. But
it'll tell you hydration rate. It'll tell you a lot of stuff like that. I understand that density through a scan, like it understands, okay, this is water, this is, all that kind of stuff. But dude.
A lot of it, again, an isolated scan here or there won't tell you shit. Could be wildly off.
Yeah.
But if you go, like for me, my methodology before I go scan is no alcohol for 3 days prior. And I wake up in the morning, I have a fasted workout, and I'm well hydrated, and then I scan immediately following the workout. And so doing that consistently, my scans are very consistent, and I can actually discern information from them. But if you go in there after a night of drinking, dehydrated, and not post-workout, and then the next time you go in there, you're super hydrated post-workout, they're going to be wildly different.
Yeah. Well, I think all that stuff is so subjective. Like, I can't float in the water. Because I'm just super dense.
I have too much muscle.
I just fucking sink.
Yeah.
I can't fucking do it.
Yep.
I can't do it.
Muscle don't float.
Dude, I'm not ripped. I just sink like a fucking stone.
Yeah, fat. Fat floats a lot better than anything else. When we were at Lake Powell.
My ass is always down first.
When we were at Lake Powell, the...
That didn't sound right.
That did not sound right. I'm skipping that. There was a tragic accident out there. This Oriental couple, Asian couple, I don't know what they were. They were of Asian descent. They had rented a boat and they jumped off the boat and were swimming alongside the boat. But the problem was they jumped off the upwind side of the boat and the winds kicked up.
Oh, fuck.
And so the winds blew their boat away from them and they got exhausted. And this is the kind of weird part. The wife made it back to the boat. The husband drowned.
Oh, she fucking killed him.
Baby, I don't know.
Dude, she fucking killed him.
They did get his body out of the water the next day.
Dude, it's not that far to swim to the shore.
Oh, no. Lake Powell's huge.
I know it is.
We're talking thousands of yards, depending on where you decide to jump out and swim.
Dude, your life's on the line. Adrenaline kicks in. I bet you could swim fucking a mile.
Depends. So.
Like just slow frog kicks?
Yeah, I don't know. But if this person was of Asian descent, very rarely will you see a fat Asian. And so chances are they don't float very well. And if he didn't have a life preserver on, there's no chance.
Yeah.
So you can get exhausted pretty quick, especially if you don't,
if you're not in good shape.
Not in good shape, you know.
Man, maybe I'll take my wife fucking to
the There was a thing.
Hey, man, insurance is, you know.